So glad you've joined us this weekend. Let me look in the camera, say a big hello to all of our locations, wherever you're gathering from. We're glad you're along for the ride. All of you joining us online, we're glad you're here as well. And we are starting a brand new series, as you heard, called Red Flags. I'm very excited about this series. And if you are joining us online, by the way, or if you plan to join us online at some point during the month of February, we're going to be doing something a little bit different. We're not streaming on YouTube this month. We will be streaming on our website, yourjourney.tv. It is a relationship series, so we figured we'd help you get a little bit more connected than usual for all of you who are online. You can chat with one of our hosts there, submit prayer requests, and I'd love to have you join us at yourjourney.tv. And as we jump into this series, it is all about relationship issues. So just wondering, for all of us in the room, one of our locations, how many of us have some relationship issues? Just anybody, how many have ever had any relationship issues? Okay, just show of hands, anybody had any relationship issues? So you're not lifting your hand, you are the issue, just so you know, somebody's like, you know. Because the truth is, and I kind of shared this last weekend, said that coming into this series, we're going to talk about some of the big issues in relationships. And one of the biggest issues in relationships is the fact that we all have issues and that we bring our issues into our relationships with us. I think sometimes we think we can leave them behind, but we bring them into our relationships. And all of us, this is true of all of us, whatever our background, whatever our age, whatever our relationship status, whatever we believe about God, faith, any of that, we all have issues. I do, you do. It's just part of being human. And one of the problems in our relationships is that we assume other people have all the issues. You know what I'm talking about? We think, well, it's somebody else's issue, or we live in denial, like, what issue? And as a result, we often miss the red flags that could alert us to some things that need to change in our relationships or perhaps in the way we view our relationships. So today, I want to set the stage, and I'm going to come at this from a little bit different angle than I have in previous relationship series. We will get practical in the weeks to come, but I want to set the stage today and talk not only about our relationships, but one relationship in particular. I'll tell you more about that in a moment. And for the rest of the series, man, we're just going to unpack this. We're going to grow together. So you're going to want to come every weekend. And not just that, but invite somebody to come with you. Find somebody who has issues and invite them. Don't tell them that's why you're inviting them, but because it's going to be a great series. And we're not just going to talk about all the issues we have. We're actually going to discover the freedom that God intends for us and for our relationships. And for a lot of us, a big thing we just need to hear is, in so many cases, there is a better way. And God wants to introduce us to that. Sound good? Everybody good? So let's jump into the series. Super Bowl, just a week away now. I don't know if you're interested in this. I stopped being interested in it a few weeks ago with my team. Did not make its way into where they needed to be. But if there's one thing we are sure to see during the Super Bowl, a lot of us are going to watch the Super Bowl, whether we're into football or not. And if there's one thing we can expect to see, it's flags. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And we're going to see a lot of these yellow flags. If you're a football fan, you're used to the yellow flag. It is a penalty flag. We're going to see a lot of these thrown on the field during the Super Bowl at the most inopportune moments. You know, big plays will be reversed. The ball will move down the field or move backward, depending on which team gets the penalty. And you'll see referees just jumping in and throwing these yellow flags. And here's what I know about relationships. A lot of us are experts at throwing penalty flags in our relationships. We're very quick to point out when somebody gets it wrong. You were late. Again. Penalty. It's 5 more yards. Always late. Penalty. How many know what I'm talking about? We're going to say, oh, did you just raise your voice with me? I don't think so. Penalty. Were you flirting with her? Don't catch that one, sir. You don't want to go, let that one go. I love my job. Penalty flags. A lot of us are very good at throwing penalty flags in our relationships. We're quick to say, oh, you shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't have thought that. We're kind of on high alert for these penalty flags. But there is actually another kind of flag that doesn't get thrown nearly as often in a football game, but it's often when it does get thrown, even more important, and that is the red flag. Anybody know what I'm talking about? So the red flag is a challenge flag, and this does not get thrown by a referee when there's a penalty. This is thrown by a coach who wants to challenge the ruling on the field, okay? Yellow flags get thrown by referees, and red flags get thrown by coaches, and we get pretty excited. Don't you get excited when the red flag comes out, especially if it's your coach, your team? You're like, yeah, come on, woo! Get all fired up about the red flag. And here's what else I know about relationships. Not only are many of us good at throwing those yellow penalty flags in our relationships, but many of us, when we think about God, we kind of wish he would play referee in our relationships. Kind of wish that he would throw some penalties on the people that are in our lives. But the truth is, God is more like a coach than a referee often. Often he's on the sidelines. And what God does is every once in a while, he will challenge the ruling on the field. And this is actually where the analogy breaks down, because relationships are not like football. Most of the time, the person across from us is not the enemy. We think they are, but that's not really what's going on. And God is not so much like this cosmic referee running around throwing penalty flags. And if we thought that way about God, we were wrong about him. Because the truth is, God is actually much more like a coach. And here's how I want to set the stage for this series, is what could happen if we begin to pay attention to the red flags that God is dropping on the sidelines of our lives to challenge some of our beliefs and our behaviors in our relationships. What if God, we've had some rulings on the field, as it were. We have some ways we see relationships, and God wants to come along and says, actually, I want to challenge that. I want you to think a different way about yourself, about your relationships, about your life. So we'll come back to that in a few minutes. But to kind of frame this today, I want to read from one of the Psalms in the Old Testament of the Bible. And as we wrapped up our previous series last weekend, we actually read one of these Psalms. I would encourage you to read them in the Bible. There are 150 of them in the Old Testament, and they're basically like poems or songs. They were meant to be set to music. And the one we're gonna look at today actually talks about relationships, but not the relationships we're gonna talk about a lot during the rest of the series. This Psalm actually talks about our relationship with God and then our relationship with ourselves. And this is really, until we get this right, I believe, it's very difficult to get any of our other relationships right. So here's what we read. This is Psalm 42. As the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I go and stand before him? You ever been outside on a really hot summer day? I know it's not this time of year, but if you can go back in your memory banks, and middle of the summer, you're outside, it's hot, it's maybe you've been working outside or playing outside all day, and you're so hot and it hits you, your mouth gets parched, your throat gets dry, and when you finally get something to drink, you don't sip it, right? You guzzle it. I mean, it's water's coming out the sides of the glass and down your shirt, and you can't think about anything except quenching your thirst. So let's get real. I know for some of us today, we're going, listen, man, God is not what I'm thirsty for. It's not what I'm, like, I don't wake up every day going, man, I'm just longing for more of God. And I get that you may feel that way. Maybe you feel like what I'm longing for right now is for winter to be over, or school to be over, or this struggle I'm going through to be over. Maybe when it comes to our relationships, some of us are longing for somebody to be with, or longing for things to go better with the person we are with. And we think that's what we want more than anything. We think if this thing in my life could just get figured out, then everything else would start to make sense. But what if it is God that we are actually all longing for? What if the feelings of emptiness and thirst deep inside of us that we all experience in our lives are actually signs that we are thirsty for the living God? We're searching for something, for someone beyond us? And what if it's actually, for so many of us, we approach our relationships as if it's the other person's job to fulfill us? We even come into relationships sometimes thinking, you know, you complete me. What if the truth is that no human on this planet can complete us? What if no one can actually complete us except the one who created us? And we're thirsting for God. We may not put it in that language, but that's what we're longing for. And put it another way, what if a lot of our human relationship issues actually can be traced back to our relationship issues with God? What if we're doing a lot of deflecting in our relationships? What if we're not quite as mad at that person as we think we are, but we are pretty mad at God and we're deflecting onto that other person? What if our issues don't have as much to do with the people in our lives as they do with how we view God in our lives? And you may not buy that yet. And that's okay, I'm not here to twist your arm. I do think it's worth considering, especially if you've ever found yourself here. Day and night, I have only tears for food, while my enemies continually taunt me, saying, "Where is this God of yours?" Often the biggest threat to getting to know God, the real God, is this voice of an enemy that's continually asking, "Well, where is God? I mean, you need him right now. Where is he? Why isn't he doing what you need him to do? Why isn't he showing up the way you need him to show up? Why isn't he handling this the way that you've asked him to handle this? Where is this God of yours?" And if you're new to the Bible or Christianity, followers of Jesus believe that we have an enemy of our faith. In scripture, we read about him as Satan or the devil. And you may immediately picture some grotesque, enormous demon with horns and a pitchfork and a tail. And while there may be some accuracy, I don't know if that's how Satan actually looks, but I do know how he operates most of the time, and the way he operates is much more subtle. He operates as a little voice up in the broadcast booth of our own brains, calling the game the way he wants us to see it. And he's not accurately calling your game right now, by the way. He is calling things and saying things are happening on the field that aren't really the way they're happening on the field. And we let him in, and he begins to broadcast his view of our relationships and our lives. And he begins to ask this question, "Where is this God of yours?" One of the questions that the enemy of our faith will ask most often, "Where is this God of yours?" And he will call things out in our relationships that are not true. He will say things, this little voice will say things like, "They don't appreciate you. That's why they're acting this way. They don't respect you. They don't know how hard it is to be you." Come on, anybody ever had that? Like, they do not know how hard you work. They have no appreciation for how hard you work. They don't know how hard it is to be the one who takes care of the kids all the time. They don't know how hard it is to have the job that you have. They don't know how hard it is that you have a head cold. And it is the end of the world. And they're not taking care of you the way, come on, any guys know what I'm talking about? Like, they just understood that this post-nasal drip will be the end of you. Then they would respect you enough to take care of you. The enemy of our faith will say things like, "You need to be on guard all the time. You can't trust anybody." The enemy of our faith will say, "Nobody really wants you. You'll never have healthy relationships. You're too laid back. You're too intense. This will never get better." The enemy of our faith, this little voice in the broadcast booth of our brain, says, "See that breakup on the field? You'll never get over that. You'll never get past that. You'll never get past those words that were spoken to you or about you or that tension that erupted in that relationship." But you know the solution to the taunts of an enemy? The solution to the taunts of the enemy is having some friends. It's having a real relationship with God where we hear his truth in our lives. And then it's having some people in our world who can speak a different message than the voice in the broadcast booth of our brains. It's why we do life in J groups here. We do life in community. This is not a program of our church. It really is oxygen for our souls. We do life together because we need a few people around us that when we're frustrated, when we're confused, when we're resentful, depressed, disillusioned, whatever it may be, we need a few other people around us who can speak life and encouragement into us and begin to drown out the voice of our enemy. And that's the solution. So I want to encourage you. If you haven't yet, sign up for a group. Show up for one this week. Why? Because that voice in the broadcast booth of your brain is not going to stop broadcasting its false view of your relationships. You need some other voices to begin to drown it out. And God wants that for your life. Don't try to answer the question, where is this God of yours, alone. Get some friends around you who can say, actually, he's right here. He's closer than you think. And can encourage your soul. Listen to this next part. My heart is breaking as I remember how it used to be. You can hear the writer of this psalm. He's in a bad place. And he asks these questions. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? When I was 16, I dated a girl that, and I know, you know, I was only 16, I get it. But man, I really thought, like, this is the girl. And I was in love with her. I just was head over heels. I just thought, I'm gonna be with her for the rest of my life. This is perfect. She was pretty and fun. And I felt like I'd won the lottery. And we broke up a few months later. Now, it's very important that I am not still regretting this. I am very happily married. And I'm glad we broke up now. God had someone else in mind. But at the time, for about a year, I just couldn't get over it. Come on, some of you have been there. I remembered how it used to be. And in my framework at the time, like this, my life had ended. And I kept asking, like a lot of us do, when a relationship ends or it gets difficult, things don't go the way we wanted them to go, I was stuck asking, why? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Why am I so discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? Why did this happen? Why doesn't she want to be with me? Why did it go this way? Why? Sometimes why is a helpful question. But it can also be a place that we get stuck. And some of us find ourselves here, some of us may be here right now. We're stuck in the why zone. We're asking why over and over again. Why did that relationship end? Why haven't things gone better for me? Why is there so much tension? Why did they leave? Why do they stay? We're stuck asking why over and over again. But listen, when it comes to our relationship issues, here's the first thing I want you to get. Set the stage for this series. Why is not a good place to get stuck. And some of us are there right now. Don't misunderstand. Why can be an important question, but it's vital not to get stuck there. And some of us are months or years out from something that happened in our lives or in our relationships, and we're still asking why. We feel like we can't move forward until we figure out why. What went wrong, what we could have said or done differently, all the if onlys. And man, I'm telling you, I can go there in a hurry, just get stuck there. Why? Anybody else just, why? Why, God? Why? I cannot move forward until I answer this why question. What if God wants to challenge that? What if it's time actually to stop asking why about the past and our relationships and to start asking what now? See, the truth is, some of us are not actually held back by our past. We think we are. But it's not what happened in the past that's holding us back. It is our desperate, unrealized need to understand what happened in the past that's holding us back. We're stuck in a place that, honestly, can I just be candid? And I've been there. We're trying to operate beyond our pay grade. Why is way beyond my pay grade? What now is my job? And for some of us, we're stuck there when it comes to a relationship. We feel like we can't have peace until we figure out why everything happened. And I'm just telling you, I will spare you all the details. But I have been there in my life, just stuck asking why. Did you know that God's promise to us when we pray is not to give us peace? His promise to us when we pray is to give us peace that exceeds anything we can understand. Which means, sometimes we have to choose, do I want peace or do I want to understand? And the reason some of us don't have peace is because we're too desperate to understand instead of receive God's peace. We're stuck in the why. Stuck in the why. And it's keeping us from moving forward in our relationship with God. And that's the turning point for the writer of this psalm. He says, why am I so discouraged? Why am I so sad? And then without an answer, he says this, I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, not because of my circumstances, in spite of my circumstances. I will praise my Savior and my God. Now I am deeply discouraged, but I will remember you. In other words, he says, I'm not going to get stuck just remembering what used to be in my life. I'm going to find myself in a place where I remember how faithful God has been in my life. And I don't need things to change for me to praise him again. If I need my relationship to be right before I praise God, then my relationship has become my God. But when I can praise God no matter what is or isn't happening in my life, then I've got the right God, and I can begin to move forward in my faith. This is self-talk. So it's like, I need to get things right with God, and then I need to get things straightened away in myself. And that's what the writer of this psalm says. I don't know why, but I'm not going to let that keep me from putting my hope in God. I'm not putting my hope in figuring everything out. I'm not putting my hope in understanding my past. I'm not putting my hope in being able to say exactly what's going to happen in my future. I am putting my hope in God. And when it comes to relationships, listen, hope is a decision. Some of us are waiting for hope to fall out of the sky. We think we can't hope until things change. But the truth is, when we put our hope in God, God can change things. But even if things don't change right away, God will certainly change us. And when we change, things have a way of changing. And that kind of hope is a decision. And it's a decision that if we'll allow him to, God wants to help us make over the next few weeks. The writer of this psalm says, now I am deeply discouraged. He's not in denial. What is he saying? I've got issues. I've got issues. My heart's sad. I'm discouraged. I got questions I can't answer. But I'm going to remember God. Because why is not a good place to get stuck? Hope is a decision. And now is not forever. And some of us need to hear that this week. As we go into this series, some of us need to hear that now is not forever. And maybe for some of us, we're in a place where our now is not great, but it is not forever. And God wants to challenge the ruling on the field. Listen, some of us have a little voice in our heads broadcasting a false view of our lives. And that little voice is saying, you will never have good relationships. But God says, actually, I want to challenge that ruling on the field. God says, don't get tired of doing what is good. Because at just the right time, you will reap a harvest of blessing if you don't give up. There's a little voice in some of our heads that says, you are not worthy of love. And God says, oh, if you'll let me, I'd like to challenge the ruling on the field. Actually, nothing can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm challenging that idea. I'm challenging that view. There's a little voice that some of us have been listening to that says it will always be this way. But God says, I want to challenge the ruling on the field today. Actually, I'm doing a new thing. And if you will pay attention, I will cause streams in the desert. I will bring rivers in a wasteland. You can read this in his word. I'm doing a new thing. Don't give up. Don't be discouraged. Some of us have heard this little voice saying, you will never get over what happened to you. God says, I'm going to challenge that ruling on the field. Let's see how far I can get this one. I heal the brokenhearted and I bandage up their wounds. In other words, for every little voice that we have been listening to that says what has happened in your relationships in the past or has not happened defines you, God comes along and says, no, you're going to praise me again. That doesn't define you. I define you. They could never complete you. I complete you. And I'm telling you that I'm going to do good things in your life. God is faithful. And here's the last part of the psalm. I hear the tumult of the raging seas as your waves and surging tides sweep over me. But watch this. Each day the Lord pours his unfailing love upon me. And through each night I sing his songs, praying to God who gives me life. Some of you came into this weekend and you came to church this weekend feeling like you're drowning. You've got a relationship in your life maybe that's full of tension, or you've got something from your past that just keeps overcoming you, it feels like, every day. It's like the waves just keep crashing on you, and you keep getting a mouthful of dysfunction every time you try to put your head down and swim for shore. You feel like you're drowning. It's noisy in your mind. That little voice just keeps spinning lies to you. You're trying to get past your past. You're trying to navigate the loneliness you feel right now, the frustration, the resentment. Some of you came here today and you are so bitter. You don't want to be, but you just feel like you can't get past it. And here's what you need to know. There's good news. God is not some cosmic referee who can't wait to give you a penalty. He's a coach who believes in you. But before you decide what you're going to do next in the game, what if you let him challenge the ruling on the field? Come on, some of you have heard, the only way out of this is divorce. The only way through this is to put up your guard and never let anybody close again. You just got to get yours. You can't trust anybody. Some of you have heard, where is this God of yours? Here's what I want you to know. God's love is unfailing. And that's important because you've only known a failing love. Somebody else's or your own. But God's love is unfailing. And if you pray to the God who gives you life, he will hear you. Bring the ruling on the field. Sometimes you'll see a player in a game look over at the coach and go, let God challenge it. As we start off the series, here's what I want you to know. Why is not a good place to get stuck. It's time for you to move past needing to understand. Not only to move into your what now, to move into your who now. Again, I want to encourage you, get some people around you over the next few weeks to do life with. Why is not a good place to get stuck? And hope is a decision. You just didn't know you had the authority to make it. But when you put your hope in God, hope is yours every day, no matter what is or isn't happening in your life. Because God will never leave you, never forsake you. And you need to know that now is not forever. The way you're feeling now, what you're fighting now, what you're facing now, it is not forever. God's already halfway through the next chapter of your story, making every piece and every part work together for your good. Why? Because his love is unfailing. He'll never let you go. He'll never give up on you. He is not pulling you out of the game. He's just trying to help you see it differently. And if you would say week one of this series, man, I received that today. I don't want to get stuck in why. Over these next few weeks, I want to learn to hope. I want the encouragement that now is not forever. And I need the unfailing love of God to pour over me today. Would you just lift your hand if that's you, all over the room, all of our locations, online. Let me pray it over us. Father, come on, go to him with me right now. Father, we love you because you first loved us. We didn't do anything to earn it. We didn't do anything to deserve it. We bring our whys to you. We lay them at your feet. We don't. God, we'd love to understand, but if we don't, we don't. We don't have to. We trust you. We make a decision today, not based on our own goodness or somebody else's, but based on your goodness. We make a decision to hope again. Come on, tell them that. God, I make the decision to hope again. Because now is not forever. And then finally, would you tell them, God, I receive your unfailing love today. And while you let God talk to your heart for a moment or two more, if you're in the room right now, if you're watching online, if you don't know what you believe about Jesus yet, and you're not ready to make any moves when it comes to faith, that's okay. Just come back next weekend. But if you're here and God's been drawing you to him, and you know he has, maybe you've been coming for a few weeks or months, or maybe this isn't your first experience, God's been calling you, drawing you to him, today can be the day you say yes. And the best news you've ever heard is that Jesus actually came and died to solve our greatest relationship issue. We were separated from the God who created us by our sin. All of us were. All the stuff we thought, said, and done that was less than God's best for us. Jesus carried it for us, died for us, so that we could be forgiven and have new life. And when you put your faith in Jesus, you become a child of God. And that greatest relationship issue of all is solved. Not by your goodness, but by what Jesus did. And if you want that today, I'd love to lead you in a very simple prayer to take that step. So I want everyone to join me again. Focus on God, and if that's you, and you want to begin following Jesus right where you are, whisper out a prayer of faith, something like this. Jesus, today, I believe in you. God, I receive your unfailing love for me. Through Jesus, your son, I am forgiven. So I surrender everything to you. Give me the power to follow Jesus. And if that's you, while everyone around you stays focused on God, if you would say, I want to be included in that prayer, I'm putting my faith in Jesus, would you lift your hand, just hold it up high, boldly? Yeah. Amazing. Thank God. In every room, all of our locations, online, you can type the word faith in the comments. Share that with us. And then I wonder, would you help me, everyone? Let's give Jesus all our praise, all our thanks for his unfailing love.